T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Surprise! Hi, everybody. I'm here an hour early. That could cause you great anger. Maybe you're indifferent, or maybe you're happy. I'm thrilled to be here. We got a lot to talk about, a lot to say. It's that time of year where there's a million things going on. And I'll be here until 1 o'clock this afternoon. JJ, John Jastrzemski, will take over then. We'll get to your phone calls. We'll talk to some of the guys that Richard was scheduled to speak to, a couple of guys I like talking to anyway. Brian Costello on the Jets, Sweeney on the Yankees. We'll get you set for your fantasy football weekend coming up a little bit later on. And obviously, there's a lot to discuss. Tons to discuss. Let me start with this, all right? Very positive comment, because I want to be positive. The Saturday morning, the sun is out, life is good. Yesterday was a win for the Yankees. Don't be fooled by the fact that they lost the game in extra innings. Don't be fooled by the fact that Adam Ottavino committed a balk to tie the game. Don't be fooled by the fact the offense did nothing. The Yankees didn't suffer any more horrible injuries. And literally, for the next 2 weeks, that's what you should measure the New York Yankees season on. Is Tanaka healthy? Did he get through his 5-plus innings healthy? Yes? Okay, that's a victory. That's a win. Did Adam Ottavino pull anything? No? Okay, that's a win. Because this has been absurd. It's been absurd all season long. It was certainly absurd the other day during that doubleheader against Detroit. How just when you think it's over, just when you think there won't be any more injuries, a few more pile up. And the two that occurred the other day, and we still don't know how severe it is, the Yankees aren't telling you, mainly because they don't know. The human body is a tricky thing. We don't know how this oblique is going to affect Edwin Encarnacion, A, when he comes back, and B, when he does come back, how it affects him performance-wise. Same thing with Gary Sanchez. But here's the thing about the Yankees all season long. And this is not to say that if the Yankees have to play playoff games with Austin Romine, it isn't a big deal. But Austin Romine, and I give him tons of credit, has really stepped up. And he has stepped up all season long whenever Gary has had any kind of injury. He had two more hits yesterday. He gets multi-hits every single time out there. Again, do I want him starting in the playoffs? No. Gary Sanchez is a better player. Gary Sanchez changes the complexion of the Yankee lineup. The Yankee lineup is deeper when Gary is there. And it's fitting for this 2019 Yankee season, Austin Romine has done a great job of stepping up. As far as the loss yesterday is concerned, seriously, you going to go nuts over it? You going to go nuts over the fact that a guy who's got very little to no shot in Tyler Lyons of being on the playoff roster gave up a home run to Bo Bichette, who you won't see in the postseason? Well, what are you going to get angry about? Right now, you need to get to October in one freaking peace. That's the goal for the New York Yankees. And let me respond to, I should find the guy's name on Twitter, because the guy basically says to me, or maybe it was a gal, I don't remember now, Tanaka stinks. I can't trust him. Let me tell you something about Masahiro Tanaka. Okay, I got the name. Paul Hart. Paul, if you're listening, he writes to me, Tanaka is just not a very good pitcher. He can't start game one in the playoffs. He can't start game one in the playoffs because the Blue Jays beat him up yesterday? Come on now. Look, I know with a lot of guys in baseball and a lot of guys in sports, what they are in the regular season tends to be what they are in the postseason. That not all guys just turn it on in the postseason, and not all guys just falter in the postseason. But there are certain people that we can look at and confidently say, hey, I think this person's different in the playoffs. They perform at a different level. I think we saw one of those guys last night pitching Queens, and we'll get to them in a second. Don't worry. We'll get to them. Clayton Kershaw, I think the numbers have shown you over 30 postseason starts. Maybe it's a little bit less than that. 28 postseason starts, whatever it is. He's a different guy. He's one of the greats of all time. He's a different guy. And Masahiro Tanaka, certainly it's not a huge sample size. It's not a full year's sample size, but I think it's enough of a sample size to know that Masahiro Tanaka is a guy you gladly give the baseball to in a big spot. Gladly. And you have confidence in it. And you know, it's funny because they were talking about this on the Met game, and I think it's the same thing in the Yankee game, maybe more so in the Yankee game because the Yankees are the team being discussed in this, not the Dodgers. Right now, you're going to see Dave Roberts and you're going to see Aaron Boone manage very differently than if the game was in October. And one of the things that make me laugh, because you'd say, well, of course you're going to manage differently. It's a regular season game in September. You know you're going to the playoffs. So, of course you'll manage differently. One of the things we are seeing managers do differently, and I think this is the opposite of probably the way it was 10 years ago, is you are seeing more patience with starting pitchers in September than in October. Which in a lot of ways is kind of funny to me. I mean, why would you be more in a rush to go to your bullpen? No matter who you are. But that's the way it is. I mean, remember Tanaka last year in game 2 of the ALDS? Remember that? I do. It seemed like Boone was in a rush to take him out. He could have gotten more innings out of Tanaka in that game. But managers in general, not just Boone, Dave Roberts too, they're in a rush to go to their bullpen. So last night with Tanaka and Kershaw, bring a parallel to them, both of those guys are taken out earlier if that's the playoffs. Both guys. Tanaka is not seeing the third time around struggling the way he was struggling if that's October. Even if he's pitching well, he doesn't see that many hitters. We saw that last year, again, in game 2 of the ALDS. Same thing with Kershaw. I mean, I was stunned by Kershaw last night. We were talking about how, hey, one advantage the Mets may have in that series is that Dave Roberts will be a little bit quicker on the hook to take his pitchers out just to save some bullets. Meanwhile, he's got Kershaw walking back-to-back guys in the seventh inning with a pitch count over 100. So Tanaka is going to be treated differently come October, and I think it's safe to say Tanaka's going to pitch differently come October because Tanaka has shown you enough. And it's funny, we go through this every freaking year with this guy. I get it. Masahiro Tanaka as a regular season pitcher. If you want to just define him that way, I'd say he's average. And that's what his numbers have indicated. He's got an ERA of 4.5. I'm not blind to that. Now, what I like about Tanaka this year is he's gone out and made 30 starts. And he's gone out and thrown 170-plus innings. But even last year, he was better last year, but yeah, 3.80 ERA. You know, it's not great. We haven't seen a dominant Tanaka in 3 or 4 years. When he first came up in 2014, he burst onto the scene. He was dominant before he got hurt. And since then, that's not who he is. But when you make 5 postseason starts, and it stretched out over 1, 2, 3 different postseasons, and in those 5 postseason starts, every start you make is either a really good start or a quality start, I would say, okay, I have faith in that guy. That guy really steps up when it matters. And so coming out of last night, the last thing I would worry about is Masahiro Tanaka. That's for damn sure. And then you have the Mets. Now, this may surprise you that I am not waking up on this Saturday morning angry. I'm not angry. I'm not angry. I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. I think there's a very big difference. And I also understand that the New York Mets this weekend are facing a team, let's be blunt, they're far superior. I mean, they just are. It is what it is. They are a far superior baseball team than the New York Mets are. And you could tell by watching that last night. And I'll tell you something else. We can rip Clayton Kershaw until the cows come home. We could talk about him being so not clutch in October. We can make fun of his postseason ERA. We can say he'll never be Koufax because of that. You can do that all day, and a lot of it's true. He has not been overall a great postseason pitcher. But you know what he is, even with a diminished fastball? You know what he is? He's better than Noah Syndergaard. He is. I'm not talking about careers, because that would be a dumb statement. Of course he's better than Noah Syndergaard. Why would you even bring that up? I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about diminished Clayton Kershaw. He's better than Noah Syndergaard. And you want to know why? Because Clayton Kershaw is a pitcher. Clayton Kershaw has done something a lot of people can't do. He went from a dominant starting pitcher who has diminished stuff, diminished velocity, and finds a way to get people out anyway.
Look, he walked a bunch of guys yesterday. Gave up a home run to J.D. Davis. No one thinks this is the old Clayton Kershaw. It's not. We know that. But this guy still goes out there and finds a way. And Noah Syndergaard needs to go out there and find a freaking way. Because what I saw last night, let's all just blame Wilson Ramos or blame Mickey Callaway or say, Tomas Nito would have saved everything. Give me a freaking break. I'm so sick of hearing about this. Noah Syndergaard was fine in the first inning. He was fine in the second inning. He was fine in the third inning, and Ramos was catching him. He was fine against the Indians a few weeks ago, and Ramos was catching him. He was fine on that Saturday night against the Nationals, the Luis Guillerme game. And guess what? Ramos was catching him. He's pitched well at times with Ramos catching him. He was fine for three innings yesterday. We all know what screwed up Noah Syndergaard. Cody Bellinger, who should win the National League MVP. You know, Rendon's making a big run, but I still think Cody Bellinger should win the MVP. Put him to work. Put him to work. Put in a really strong at-bat and worked a 10-pitch walk. And what happened after that? Noah Syndergaard folded. That's what happened. Noah Syndergaard, and he's been in this league now for 4 years now. 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Oh, 5 years. Wow. Okay. He's been in the league for 5 years now. Noah Syndergaard's got to figure it out. And I think we have this knee-jerk reaction. I do sometimes, too, to rip the Mets and rip the manager. I don't think the manager's very good. I've said that a million times. I don't think the organization top to bottom is very good. I've said that a million times. I don't have a problem with telling Noah Syndergaard, figure it out. It's not as if he's never pitched well with Ramos behind the plate. He has. I just cited you two games, and they weren't months ago. They were sort of recently, and even last night against the Dodgers. And you know what? It's also making an excuse for him to say, well, if Nitto's catching, things would have been different. Really? Would it have been different? You telling me Cody Bellinger isn't still working him over in a long at-bat? You're still telling me a good, young, emerging star player like Gavin Lux? He's a prospect. I wouldn't say emerging star yet. He still has a lot to prove, but a top prospect in baseball. I'll phrase it that way. You telling me he isn't hitting a 3-2 pitch over the fence? You telling me when he's ahead of A.J. Pollock 1-2, he isn't coming through with a base hit? All that stuff isn't happening if Tomas Nito's catching? All you're doing is making an excuse. Now, look, where I will defend Syndergaard is he didn't mean for this stuff to come out, okay? He didn't go to the media to beg for this stuff to come out. It shouldn't have come out. But Noah Syndergaard has to figure it out. And I know I'm in the minority on this because Met fans apparently want to make excuses for the guy. It's Mickey's fault. It's Mickey's fault. Nito's got a catch. Yeah, take one of your best hitters out of the lineup for Tomas Nito so Noah Syndergaard can be happy. It's mental. Come on, he can pitch well with Ramos catching. We've seen it. So I'm not angry about the game last night. I'm disappointed. Look, this isn't going to be easy. They're facing the Dodgers. The Dodgers are one of the best teams in baseball. Let's not be foolish about it. We know how good they are. And just because they clinched the division, you know, sure, they're going to be a little bit more cautious with Justin Turner, who's banged up right now. I thought they'd be more cautious with their starting pitching. They weren't last night. I mean, Clayton Kershaw went out through 105 pitches. They are a good baseball team. They are facing a team that is better than them. And somehow what the Mets have to find a way to do over the next 2 days is survive this. Because Gary Cohen said this on the broadcast last night, and he's right. Your fear is that when you face a good team like this, it turns into a sweep, the Cubs win two or three games, and now you're buried again. And this team can't afford to be buried again. They are still working their way back from the NBA deficit of being 30 down. You know, I've used this a lot. I'm sorry if you're sick of it. I really believe it's true. This is a long, winding comeback in an NBA game. And unfortunately, when you're making that kind of comeback, like the Mets have numerous times in this long-winded NBA game, you can't afford setbacks. Was last night a setback? Not if you win today. Not if you win tomorrow. And not if you go to Colorado and Cincinnati and take care of them. But they've got to find a way to survive this three-game series. And tonight, you've got your best pitcher on the mound, and you've got a guy in Hyunjin Ryu who was great. The Mets saw him in L.A. He was dominant then, dominant in his kind of way, in which he's not striking the world out, but he's getting you out. But he has not been pitching well lately. Mets have to come out and win tonight. They got to find a way to win these next two games. You do that, and Friday night wasn't as big of a setback. But keep this in mind, because I had it in my mind all night last night watching this game. The Dodgers are better. I mean, they are the best team in the National League. They are better, in my opinion, than the Atlanta Braves. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to smoke the National League in the postseason. We've talked about this with the Yankees and the Astros. The Yankees and the Astros are the two best teams in the American League. That doesn't mean they're inevitably going to face in the American League Championship Series. Crazy things happen in short series. And the Dodgers are facing a really difficult task. In this era in which you've got to get through numerous rounds, they're trying to get to their third straight World Series. That ain't easy. That is not easy. So as good as they are, and they're good, they're real good, that is going to be a very tall task. So we'll get your phone calls at 877-337-6666. We'll discuss the Giants, who get set to try to look for their first win of the year against the Buffalo Bills, who are making MetLife Stadium their home. Greg Williams' comments concerning Odell Beckham Jr. and what he said to the media. We'll actually talk to Brian Costello, who I think is the guy that he was yelling at yesterday in that conference call. We'll take a look at the rest of week two in the NFL. We'll talk fantasy. I got to tell you a personal story later about how last night I got hosed in fantasy baseball. It'll take 10 seconds because I know most people don't care, but I do have to vent because it was horribly unfair. That's all I'll say. So we'll get to that later. I'm on an hour early, Evan Roberts, until 1 o'clock this afternoon. The great John Jastrzemski will take over then. So hang tight. We're going to hang out on a Saturday, and we're coming right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.